If you had the chance to give God a loan of time, energy, and money, would you do it? Would you trust God to repay you? That is my question. Now, of course, everyone's nodding their head. Yes, you would. But I want you to think about that in this life. Basically, what we have to offer to other people, not only money, sure, of course, money's always something, but time, love, attention, okay? These are the things that we can offer to people that really mean a big difference, in addition to food and clothing and shelter. Of course, you know, I'm not assuming past that. And what I want to do is go real quickly through the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you think about it, there are eight people involved. There's the person, the lawyer, who came up and asked Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus turns it back on him and says, "Well, how do you read the law? What do you think?" And the fellow says, "Well, what you must do is you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus, the teacher, second person of our character list here, says, "You have answered correctly. If you do this, you will live." Now, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, as the text charitably says, according to the commentary I read, the lawyer wanted to pat himself on the back. He wanted to prove himself extra righteous, because when he said, "Who is my neighbor?" what he was really saying was, "Wow, I am so righteous, there's no other neighbor to me. I'm the only one that is this righteous." And Jesus is like, okay, let me tell you a story. And then he introduces the third person, this anonymous man who was going down, the text very clearly says, going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. If any of you have had the blessing to go to the Holy Land, you know that Jerusalem is a city on a mountaintop, and that Jericho is a very unusual city in that it is below sea level. Even though they're not that far apart, their altitude is dramatically different. And more than that, there's an undercurrent. Jericho was, shall we say, an unsavory city. So to say one was going down to Jericho not only indicated, yes, you're going down geographically, physically, but you're also going to, well, Las Vegas, okay? Atlantic City, right? You're going from the high holy city to the low city of, well, you know, what happens in Jericho stays in Jericho, right? That sort of thing. Well, I mean, that's what's going on here, right? So this man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Don't know what that was all about, what he was going to do. Doesn't matter. That's not really the point, but it's the undercurrent or part of the undercurrent. So if you've ever been to the Holy Land again, you'll know that at the time, the path from Jerusalem to Jericho was a narrow canyon way. Imagine an old cowboy movie that, you know, when you would see the good guys ride through this narrow canyon, you just knew the bad guys were going to ambush them in this canyon because there were high walls. It was very tight, nowhere to hide, really, except for where there were places to hide, and that's where the bad guys were, right? You only took this road if you absolutely had to, or if there was something there you really wanted to have bad enough to take the risk of getting there. The road was notorious for outlaws and bandits. You could get to Jericho another way, but you had to go around to do it, and it took a long time, right? So if you really wanted to get to Vegas, then the quickest way was to go down that deep, dark, narrow, twisty road, and you knew you might get attacked, okay? That's just the way it was. Anyway, so this fellow goes, and what happens? Sure enough, he gets attacked. They mug him, they take his stuff, they beat him up, and they leave him, as the text says, half dead. And I should ask Father Seraphim, I wonder if the Greek really says half dead. I love that. Anyway, so then who comes along next? A priest and a Levite. All right, when you hear Levite, think deacon. That's basically what that was. It was someone who was familiar with the law, and they helped with the services. What did these guys do? They ignored him, right? They didn't help him at all. They treated him as if he was untouchable, right? They went to the other side of the road. They left the poor guy over there. Part of that is because at that time, the mindset was, if something bad happens to you, you've brought it on yourself. We have to be careful we don't let ourselves slip into that same mindset today. Sometimes that happens. Yes, actions have consequences. But there is an awful lot of evil and just mischief in the world, and bad things happen to good people, right? So don't let somebody lay that on you that, oh, you caused this, unless you somehow purposefully hit your finger with the hammer, all right? So they avoided this fellow rather than showing compassion, all right? Those are the next two guys in our list. So then who comes along? A Samaritan. Now, if you know anything about the history of the Jews and the Samaritans, these guys did not get along. It was a blood feud, almost like Hatfield and McCoys, if you will, if you're familiar with that reference. They really, really hated each other. So this Samaritan stops what he's doing. He interrupts his trip to go over and help this person who likely I'm going to guess, would not have helped the Samaritan if the roles had been reversed, right? Because this was probably a Jew, right? And I doubt he would have helped the Samaritan. And the Samaritan likely knew that, but it didn't stop him. What he saw, he didn't see a Jew. He saw a human being. A human being. And that is our challenge still today, to see human beings. It doesn't matter what they've done. Maybe they have done it to themselves. Of course, haven't we also, whatever our particular weaknesses are? It doesn't matter. Human beings, we're all trying to stumble along this road of life unto the kingdom, and we're there to help each other. And yes, you might can see what another person's weakness is very clearly, and they stubbornly resist acknowledging it. That's okay. We love them anyway, right? We show them compassion, just like God, who can clearly see every one of our weaknesses, right? He knows what our problems are, and he still loves us. Isn't it a beautiful day out there? He still sends his sunshine on us every day, right? So the Samaritan sees a human being. He goes over and helps him. He pours oil and wine. Think of a balm and a disinfectant, right? Because alcohol is in wine, right? It's a disinfectant. This would help with his cuts and bruises. He bandages him up, puts him on his own animal, and takes him to an inn where he probably had a relationship with the owner, right? Because there's not a lot of back and forth. He just leaves the guy there, throws the guy a couple of denarii. That's a day's wage. I don't know. Is that 200 bucks, 100 a day? I don't know what it is. That seems like a lot, because if you do the math, that comes out to a lot of money. But still, he gives the guy some money and says, here, take care of him. And when I come back, whatever you spend, I will repay you. I want you to leave here today thinking that our job, okay, we know we're supposed to be like the Samaritan. That's easy, right? Show compassion. Our job is to be like the innkeeper. And that's where I was going with that about the loan, right? What did Christ, or through the Samaritan, say to the innkeeper? I'm going away. Whatever you spend while I'm gone, I will repay you when I come back. It's almost as if he's giving a loan, right? The money, the time, the energy that we give to people now is like loaning it to God. And when he comes back at the second coming, whenever that is, tomorrow or 1,000 years from now, he will repay us. He will make us whole. He will complete us and bless us. So, yes, you are giving up some things here today in this life, but don't worry. Our faith is God will make us whole and richly so, exponentially. So if you are not afraid to loan God, as it were, time, attention, and money, and thank you for your stewardship, by the way, if you're not afraid to loan God your money, then do it. He will repay, and he will richly, richly pay you with interest. Okay? Think about these things, and again, thank you for your patience.